So today's Mishnah in Masechet Kelim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Mishnah Hey. Okay, so now remember that the yesod that we had earlier in Mishnah Beit over here was that a kli has to have an independent function, even if it's made out of matechet, in order for it to be called a kli that is metame. So we have now examples of kelim that don't really have an independent function, and they only become a kli once they're attached to an entire ma'arechet, an entire structure. One of the best examples of this is a bridle. So a horse's bridle has got many different parts on it, not all of which are absolutely essential. I mean, you can get along with just putting in a bit in a horse's mouth together with reins. Lovely, lovely. Is that a horse or a donkey? It's sort of funny-looking horse, but all right. In any event, I don't think any horse lover would go for this one. But in any event, you do see the different parts over there. And while Naftali's got his picture up, note the different parts. So the part that's in the mouth, which is the bit, is called the akrav. And then you can just do with that. And you can attach the reins just to a bit in the mouth. And then by pulling on the reins, you're going to be able to steer the horse. Then you've got these nice little things that are addition. You've got these cheek pieces, which are called cheeks, l'chayayim, but they are essentially decorative. Then you've got the part that goes around the top of the head, which keeps everything together. And now the question is, what thing is considered to be a kli on its own, and what is only going to be metame when it's mechuyav? So the entire bridle is called a prumbia. And the akrav of the prumbia is tame all on its own, because we said that anything that is given its own shame, this thing is given the shame of the akrav, which in English we also will call it a bit, and that's totally, that is given a concept of a single kli. Mashenken, the bridle, is this complex put together, the entire gear, so it's a marechet. So the akrav is metame all on its own. But the lechayayim, which are the cheek pieces, which are basically really for decoration, they don't serve any specific purpose on their own, and therefore they are tahorim. Rabbi Eliezer is even metame lechayayim, because since when they're attached to the overall prumbia, they are tame. So because of that, he considers the entire thing to be able to be mekabel tuma on its own, because it's still decorative. So even though you say, and it's true that a decoration, we're going to see later on, a decoration for a human is a kli. But one of the biggest sodas that we're going to be learning about a little bit later is that a kli that is not mishamesh odam is not considered to be a kli. So if it's decorative, but it's decorative for a horse, that is not considered to be decorations. So a horse is over here, l'chayayim, since they're only used as decorations, as a chelek of a kli, which is the entire bridle. So because of that, they retain the shame kli as decorations, even when they're not mechuber to the bridle. So this is a tremendous chiddush that he's saying, that it's considered to have its own, again, the idea is that decoration is functionality. And therefore, by calling something lechayayim, they do have a shame of their own. The only chisaron is that the shame that they have of their own is a tashmish for a horse and not for a person. Taina's Rebbe Eliezer, the very sophisticated reasoning, that since ultimately the decorative function, when it's together with the overall prumbia, is going to be mekabel tuma, why would it lose its shame of a kli just because it's decorative and it's being used for a horse? Because when it is used for the horse, it's mekabel tuma, ultimately, as part of the prumbia. So you can't take down its shame of an individual kli just because currently it's not part of the prumbia. It's an amazing way to look at it, because he's saying it's not that it's mekabel tuma because it's part of something else. The being part of something else is what makes it a full kli, which is part of the tashmish ha'adam. But nonetheless, that takes off the problem of it's only being a horse's decoration. It's really beautiful. The Chachomim say the only thing that would be tame is the akrav itself, which seems to be repeating what the Tanakhama says. So, I mean, many learn that according to the Tanakhama, the other parts except for the what we mentioned, which was the lichayim, but the part that goes around the head and so on, that would also be tame. And the chachamim hold no, only the bit itself, only the akrav. But once everything is connected, b'sha'at chiburam, hakol tame. So everybody agrees that once you something is attached to something which is tame, it itself becomes tame as well. Ah, interesting. Very sweet. Okay, great. Very nice. Okay, so now, continuing on, we're going to be talking about exactly this issue. Things that are connected to other things which on their own will not be able to be mekabel tuma, whether an entire structure has a different din than the pieces of this structure. Okay, so we start off with a pika shel matechet. Now, the pika is something that is attached to what we learned before, is normally a kli. Let me get some pictures over here, or Naftali can show us a picture. Naftali? Ah. Oh, I thought he was showing us a thermometer for some reason. I don't see so well from afar. Okay, right. So we've got the kush. Remember, the spindle is called a kush, and the spindle's got these parts on it, which is the little hook, and then it's got this whorl on it. And the point of the whorl is like it's a spin wheel in a car. So it gives it. It's heavy enough to keep the kush spinning. So this picture is a bit funny because normally the pika is much closer to the hook. And over here, they have the hook on the top instead of the hook on the bottom. Okay, maybe there was people who did things that way. That's a feeder hook. That's not the holder hook. So I'm not really familiar with that picture. But looking in the seeing the pictures of Kalin in the old book, so what you could see over there is, okay, they have the kush together with the, all right, we'll wait until the next piece. The ima. So what exactly is the ima? There's two basic approaches to the ima. One of them is the Rambam's approach. The Rambam's approach is this. The ima is a large stick that's kavu, it's a pole, around which the raw fibers of either tzemer or pishtim are put. And you take them off of the ima, and you bring them onto, if you notice there's somebody that's holding over there, a kush, where you'll note that the weight is together with the hook. You see, hook and weight all together. I can't hear you, Bernie. All right, so that's one approach. Others learn that the ima is the hook is the word that we're using for the ima. Not like the Rambam. Fine. Okay, but I mean, the ideas are the same. A makel, so you have a stick over here that you use for controlling an animal. So you use it to hit that, what do they call that, a rod of some kind, I forgot what the name is. And therefore, since it's used by a person directly, even though the use of it is to control an animal, it's a person's need to control the animal. That's important over here. And because of that, if it's made out of metal, then it would be a real kli. Now, a symphonia obviously means a symphonia, comes same word as symphony, and it's a reference to a musical instrument. So this symphonia is mekabel tuma if it's made out of metal. And the chalil, we're going to see later on more about what a symphonia might be made, but a symphonia may relate, Gabi pointed out this morning, to the symphonot hare'ah. So that means it's something that has to do with airflow, and it must be that it's an air instrument that's driven by an air as opposed to strings, and a chalil, which is the classic flute. So if it's made out of matechet, that is tame. But if they're made out of wood and they're coated with matechet, then they're Torah, because remember, we do not go according to the plate. We go according to the Iker Kli, and the Iker Kli is wood. And none of these things can hold water, And since they can't hold water, so they're considered to be kelim of eitz that are pshutei kli eitz. Pshutei kli eitz are mekabel tuma. Now, here's the thing about the simpuna. That if the simpuna has a base kibul for its wings. Now, what in the world would that mean? So it seems to be, and this is fascinating, because even though the clarinet is a very modern instrument, I mean, it's something that was like a German invention not that long ago, and it has wings, right? The clarinet. It's got these finger things that fly open and then close, as opposed to a flute where you actually use your fingers. So those wings are always put into holes. So that means that that's a base kibul. So this is a wooden kli that's got a lot of holes for putting these wings into, which are valves. So since it's got holes that hold the metal structure for the valves, that's considered to be a base kibul. And because that's not pshutei kli eitz, it would actually be a kli eitz with a base kibul. And because of that, ben kach, even if it's made entirely with wood or metal, would make no difference. It would be tamei, beautiful. So we now have an insight into the simpunia. Okay, now, normally speaking, we use this, of course, in wind instruments. We have wind instruments. It's so funny that once something is translated into English, you don't connect it to what it really means. So we have the horns, right? It never occurs to people that horns are horny, and they're really made out of horn. So initially, the idea of horns goes back to instruments that are made out of keren, literal keren. Okay, obviously we don't use that anymore, but horns used to be kronos. So keren, so in the old word for horn, of course, is a horn, is a keren. So if you have kronot, so then it has a din of clay atzamot, right? So clay etzem, the din of a clay etzem also is that it doesn't have a base kibul, it's not mekabel tuma. So if it's a curved horn, so it's agula, so then, okay, so then if it's, oh boy, that is very agula, so then it's got room for, thank you, so then it's got room for holding water. So, you know, if you're really thirsty, you can always dip your keren into the water and then drink from it. But if it's a straight horn, so then is no place to be mekabel tuma. And since it's made out of etzem, because the horn has a din of etzem, there's no tuma unless it has a kli kibul. Now, how about if the mouthpiece was covered with metal? So then it would be tuma, because then it's really a metal kli that serves a direct purpose. A metal kli doesn't require a base kibul. And what about the kav? The kav is the big section, which we call in modern, we call the bell. That's the part that looks like a bell at the end. And that is sort of an amplifier. So that makes the sound now go all over the place. So the kav shela, if that's made out of matechet, so according to Rabbi Tarfon, that kav is a kli all on its own. And the Chachomim say, no, it's tahar on its own, unless it's connected to the horn, because it doesn't do anything on its own. Of course, if it's connected, b'shat chiburan, the Chachomim are also moded that everything is tameh, because the din is that everything that's attached and part of the functionality of a kli that becomes tameh is also tameh. So again, the question over here revolves around the main focus of our parak all the way back at the beginning, which is anything that has a shem bifnei atzmo that defines it is going to be tameh on its own. So over here, the question is, I call it a bell, or I call it an amplifier. Let's say we call it an amplifier. So can we talk about an amplifier as being a kli, or is an amplifier ipso facto amplifying something, and therefore it's not a kli unless it's attached to the thing that is providing it with the sound that it's going to be amplifying? This is good for the machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachomim, because certainly it is its own functional kli. And nonetheless, it doesn't do anything for the Adam until it's actually part of a horn. So according to the Chachamim, only when it's put together. Now, we've got a lot of things that are like that. And that's what we're going to start being the focus of our parak is. What is considered to be something on its own, and what is considered to be something that is only part of another thing? So as opposed to an amplifier, which you could certainly see as having a shape for itself and a functionality all its own, if you've got the branches of a menorah that, you know, many, many menorahs come like that, you plug them in to the sides, and then you've got a menorah. So the Kenea menorah on their own do not have a functionality of their own. They're called Kenea menorah. So obviously when they're not attached to the menorah, they're nothing. What about the perach of the menorah, the basis of the menorah? The perach of the menorah, based on the perachia from the Mishkan, which became, in more recent usage, it became known as the part of the menorah that you put the lamp on, and therefore it is a container because you put the lamp into it. So the perach of the menorah, or the basis of the menorah, which you stick the centerpiece of the menorah in, so those are containers. So those are tameim on their own because those are functional containers. B'sha'at chiburam, when you put it all together, obviously everything becomes tameh, including the branches. Now, another beautiful example of that is a bicycle helmet. So suppose you have a kazda. So you've got a helmet for your motorcycle. Now, that helmet's got all kinds of different parts in it. Okay, so it's got the top part, which protects your head. It's got the sides, which you can connect so that they go around to protect the side of your head. It's got, in those days, they would also put their bottled water inside the helmet, which was connected to a little straw, so you could drink from the water, so it had a place for a water bottle. Nowadays, of course, we're more sophisticated. We've got this big, beautiful thing on our back as we're bicycling along. What do you call those? I forget what they're called. They're a great thing. Huh? Channel pack? Oh, camel pack. Oh, okay, right. Okay, but then they used to build it into the helmet itself. Very cute idea. So, okay, so take a look at the kasda. And, of course, they didn't have plastics. They would make it out of metal. So the kasda itself is tamea. The lechayayim, which are the side pieces, those are always described not as a kli, but as the lechayayim of a kasda. And because of that, it doesn't have a shame on its own, and therefore wouldn't be a kabbaltum on its own. But if you've got that place for your water in the lichayayim, so then it has a base kibul. So im yesh be'em beit kibul mayim, then of course it would be tamei simply because it has it's a klimat techer and it has a beit kibul on its own. The general rule is that all types of things that are used for war, kol klei milchama, they're all tameh, all made out of metal. So if you're talking about a kidon, which is like a smaller spear, or you've got a nikon, which is even the metal top of the sharp metal that you could put the wood into, that's a kli. Magapayim are your metal extenders over your leg to prevent your legs from getting cut off. And the shirion, which is, of course, the ikar, the coat of mail, all of that is made out of metal. All of those things are tameim, and they're all kalim that have their own names. Now, remember that we mentioned before, something that's just decorative for a horse may not have a din of a kli. But if something is decorative for a human, that is considered to be a kli and is listed in the Torah, along with all of the other kalim that require dealing with the questions of tuma, kolosho yavo b'mayim. It's listed as different pieces of jewelry. So if you have the famous Irshel Zahav that Rabbi Akiva gave to his beloved, which is a picture of Yerushalayim on a chain, or you have Katliot. Katliot come from the word murder, Katala, because as we call them in English, they're chokers. And if you put them on tight enough, you can even get rid of your woman. So Katliot, so those are chokers. Nizamim, earrings or nose rings, tabaot, those are all metal kalim, which are mekabel tuma because they're decorations. They don't have to have a function. Their function is to decorate, and that's fine since it's a human functionality. Now, when we're talking about a tabat, remember that in those days, the first thing that comes to mind when you talk about a tabat is the signet, because that was the main function of tabat. And the thing is that a signet did not have a stamp that was made out of metal. It usually had some type of nice stone that was used as the actual stamper. So, but it doesn't really matter. Tabat ben sheyesh lachot tam ben sheein lachot. It doesn't matter whether it's got on top of it, it's got a nice stone on it, because lamaisa we view the metal as the ikur over there, even though the stone may not be roy for kabbalat tuma. Doesn't bother us. If you have nizmea af, you've got nose rings, and those things, of course, could also become tame. Now, what happens with these kelim when they break? Now, this is very cute, because as we know, one of the main things that break are these chokers. And when they break, the pearls or the stones go flying all over the floor, right? You've got yourself quite a mess. And sometimes you hold these things together with like a nylon string or something, and sometimes you hold them together with a silver, nice, beautiful chain, which continues on above and beyond the various stones that you put on them. So now it depends. If you've got a ktala, where you've got the beads, which we're calling over here chuliot, the chuliot shala are made out of metal beads. Okay, so you've got silver or gold round things, and you put a linen cord, pishtan, or tsemer, chuchal tsemer, and then the cord breaks. So when the cord breaks, all these beads fly all over the place. The din is that even though nifsak achut, each one of these beads is considered to be decorative on its own and has a use to be made into whatever you want that's decorative. And because of that, kol echad ve'echad kli bifnei atzma, we consider each one of them to be a kli, and therefore each one of them is going to be able to be mekabel tumah if it's made out of metal. Now, if you've got a choker that has the cord dafka is the metal, so in other words, you've got a chain that's made out of fine silver or something, and on the other hand, what is on the chain are stones, semi-precious stones, polished stones, or glass, or avanim, tavot, margoliot, zchuchit, whatever, and over there, the beads broke off, nishtabru achuyot, but the silver chain is still okay. And the chut b'fnei atzmo is kayam, the opposite of the case that we had before. So the silver chain is tameh because it's made of metal, even though right now all of the beads broke off, but the chain is a kli. Now, the next case is where we have a silver, nice silver chain, and over here, some of it broke off, so the silver broke. And what you do in those cases is if you've got enough of avanim on it, so then you make it slightly smaller. You know, this happens all the time. You throw out a little piece of the chain that you can't repair, and you make a smaller necklace. So over there, what would be the shear? Well, shiarei ktola, where you're left with shiraim of a long necklace. So if there's still long enough that the part that still has the stones on it could be put on a little girl's neck, kimolot savar kitana, it would still be okay because it's still a choker. Rebbe Eliezer says, you guys don't know anything about jewelry. If you've got a silver chain, it doesn't have to be covered with stones. You can have a single pearl or a single stone at the bottom of that chain, and a woman is still going to put it around her neck. It won't be the same as a choker, but it's still going to be, what do they call those single, there's a word for them. Anyway, so you can have like a single stone that's right at your larynx. And that's perfectly okay. So I don't care even if there's like just one stone left on it. I feel tabat echad would still be tome. Why? Because shekein tolim betzavar, people still use that itself as a piece of jewelry. Okay, gentlemen, that unfortunately we've run out of time. So we're still in Perek Yud Aleph. And we're going to be talking about some more jewelry, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. And we've kept it to 1 hour, which is great. We've done both of our Gemara and our Mishnah. And I'm very happy to have not only done that, but to have done it with the greatest people that I know. So thank you so much again for coming and being there. I'm so happy and look forward, Bezrat Hashem, to being given an opportunity to do this again tomorrow and maybe more. Have a great day. See you all.